Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 1. It's Friday, so I hope you're getting that Dahina feeling as we head for the Deira Shochtana. No more weather talk out of us, I swear to God. We've got gardening, Oscars, Irish history, tidy towns, a quiz, a visiting critic, and your own musings too, I hope, as you join the group chats on the WhatsApp, North and South, East and West, 0870 32 32 32. And for your longer letters, as ever, oliver@rte.ie. Well, what a raging 24 hours of breaking news we had. Andy Windsor banged up for 11 hours of questioning, and the British Royal Institution rattled to its core, a shadow of its glory times. You've all seen that photograph now, the defrocked prince attempting to cower down in hiding at the back of his Range Rover, driven, of course, by the security that he still has, despite everything. And they really captured his good side, didn't they? The flash of the camera gets his wan expression, the flesh congealed around his chin, that thick neck folded into a crumpled shirt after his hours of police custody. He thought he wouldn't be seen, but it went badly wrong. The photograph was taken by a Reuters snapper. His name is Phil Noble. He's a Liverpool man. He's been telling Reuters the story of how this picture has come to be, and it's on the front page of news sites worldwide. Tens of millions of us have seen it by this stage. It is the shell-shocked image of 2026, and BBC reporting it's the counterpoint now to the photograph of the once playboy prince 25 years ago. It was 2001, they reckon, that picture was taken with him of his arm around the late Virginia Giuffre, the woman he claims he never met, who was paid millions from his mother's coffers, as it turned out in the end. Journalists, they knew the former prince was arrested in Norfolk in England, but not exactly where he was held. So Phil Noble says he got a tip, headed to the police station in this market town of Aylsham. Not much was going on, he says. There was a couple of other members of the media hanging around, including video journalist from Reuters, Marissa Davison, his colleague. 6 or 7 hours they're standing around. Darkness falls. Nothing happening. They thought, we must have the wrong station. There couldn't be this level of nothing. Journalists start to disappear. The two Reuters people, they decide to book rooms at a hotel just in case. So the cameraman, he packs up all his gear. He starts heading down the road towards the hotel, and he gets a phone call from Davison, the videographer. She knew the number plates of Andrew's security cars, and she spotted them arriving. So he races back with his camera. And in the seconds that the two vehicles are leaving the police station at very high speed, the front is a car is a Volvo, which has two police officers. So he aimed his camera and focused instead on the car behind. And he says he only took six photographs. Two of them just showed the police in the front. Two of them are blank, and one was totally out of focus. But one, of course, was in focus and captured that unprecedented nature of the moment. The first time in modern history, a senior British royal being treated as a common criminal suspect. And the image is used immediately and extensively by the media worldwide. Phil Noble says, you can plan and use your experience and you know roughly what you need to do, but everything needs to align. When you're taking car shots and they're moving quickly, it's more luck than judgment. He hadn't even looked at the expression on your man's face. He said he was just relieved that he had Andrew in the photograph, and it's the only photograph throughout this massive story. He said it was a proper old school news day. A guy has been arrested. Who can we call? Where can we get the tips? Track him down. Get the snap. And as we know, the fallen royal, he's still under investigation for allegedly leaking confidential state papers. His properties are being searched, including official royal buildings, and he denies any wrongdoing. It is extraordinary then that the other members of the institution were out and about doing the kind of mundane duties of public figures. It wouldn't get any attention on a normal day, but there was plenty of following his brother Charles, the king of what remains of the empire. He was at London Fashion Week, would you believe? The model's going by and he's there pretend, he's kind of chatting to people, letting on like nothing is the matter at all. And all the people, I suppose, chatting to him are pretending nothing's the matter. All very English. Another sibling, Princess Anne, she was on a visit to Leeds Prison. You couldn't write it. Camilla was at a concert and everybody was yelling things about the arrest at the mall. And just the extraordinary, they just have to pretend they don't hear a word. Carry on, do a little wave, smile. I'd say double brandies at tea time last night. How would you get on with that? Meanwhile, Andrew, as they're pointing out across the British media today, which itself appears to be in kind of shell shock, you can kind of feel in the pages of the Mail and the Telegraph and places like that, the tension. Andrew is still eighth in line to the British throne. He's behind William, Harry and their five children. An act of parliament would be required to strip him of that succession. And that seems kind of unlikely, really, because then down the road, you never know what government is in place and they could strip whoever they want off the throne. It's a decent week to start back on Callan's Kicks, which is on the podcast this evening. And we have 60,000 or so subscribers who'll get the notification when it's up. So if you subscribe now, and most of our community are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, you'll get the notification later on this evening when we get around to it and all the politics that's going on. If you're old school and you prefer to hear the Kicks on the wireless, every Saturday morning now at 7:30 between Rising Time and Countrywide. That's where to get it. 51551 is the text for the show. Here, what else is going on? SpongeBob SquarePants has wonderful news to deflect all the attention. He's heading to Irish cinemas, SpongeBob, with a version of his new film, As Gaeilge, to Mark Shockton the Gaeilge. Paramount Pictures, in association with T.G. Cahir and Cúla Cahir, they've announced SpongeBob on Scan-On, Cawil SquarePants, and it's going to be available through through Irish, the Teanga, in participating cinemas across March. So SpongeBob and his friends set sail on a new adventure following a ghost pirate ship on a seafaring mission. If you've ever wanted to hear Bikini Bottom with a Connemara twist, this is our moment.
Patrick?
SpongeBob?
Arr!
Ahoy!
Imi an Vorta.
Anish. Handel Chachvoin.
Fortuquig on down here.
Hey! Makeshi!
Eunice is coming for you!
Pogaba!
Tarsha Shinkandira Hurlam Wallach!
Catatar
Oh, Granver, very funny. SpongeBob on Scan-On in cinemas in the month of March. Now, Michael Smurfit has given a fascinating interview to the Irish Times. Kieran Hancock, who was down in Monaco, the journalist, to give him an award. And Smurfit now lives on a yacht named after his mum, the Lady Anne. He's going to be 90 in August. But still says he's a portfolio investments and property interests. I employ about 40 people personally, he says. I have different properties in Spain, in Monte Carlo and so on, which all require looking after and paying bills for water and electricity. I have 12 people on this boat looking after me and a full-time chef. So he says it's a great retirement. If he didn't have the boat, he wouldn't know what to do with himself. And up until 2 years ago, he was still taking the yacht across the Atlantic. What's his longevity on the verge of 90? A strict daily routine of exercise. He says the most important thing to him was his health. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, evening, no matter what he was doing, he would go for a long walk to keep fit all his life, no matter where he was. But his back now, says it's given up on him, and he's the inability to walk and exercise the way he used to. So he's cut back on food and drink instead. Other than that, the brain is working away. Michael Smurfit says, all my friends are gone. I've one left, but he's got Alzheimer's. Isn't that sad? When you get to that age, you think it's a triumph. And he also says, I don't travel much anymore. I haven't been to Ireland for a few years. All the things I knew are gone. The K Club I sold. Shanahan's on the Green was my favourite restaurant. It's no longer open and I don't recognise it. I think he means Dublin. And he was asked his views on the big topics of 2026 as well. What did he say about Donald Trump? He said he was the second person to buy an apartment in Trump Tower in New York in the 70s on the 61st floor. Trump was on the 64th. I would have dinner with him on a regular basis. He would come to some of my functions and supported the Chamber of Commerce. But he was a character totally untrustworthy. Even back then, Michael Smurfit tells us he sold the apartment 5 years ago. On the current state of Irish politics, he says, too many political parties in Ireland. People are spoiled for choice. The end result is you end up with wishy-washy politics. And I love this bit. Kieran Hancock asks him, how much money did he make? Because he's talking about he made more money on his investments after the Smurfit box business than during it. How much money did you make? Enough, he says with a broad smile as the yacht gently bobs in the water on the quayside near the train station in Monaco. You're not going to catch me on that one. You'd have to be up early to catch him. It sounds like his life is one big long episode of Below Deck, doesn't it? It's coming into the weekend. We have some first dates coming into us very shortly. And they had quite a night last night on the telly. 51551 is the text. It's Friday.
How about a little kiss?